This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Ding, 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 ding.
Alice at 97.3.
Like a feather, yeah. Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. We have money and we want to give it to you. It's a pretty simple situation here. We've got it. You want it. Here it is. All you have to do is download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to us on the app. Just listen to Alice at 97.3 for a minimum of 60 minutes over the course of any day, and you get a daily entry. You don't have to do it all at once. A little bit now, a little bit later. Just let it all add up to 60 minutes, and you've got a daily entry for your chance to win $1,000 in this national contest. Five $1,000 winners every weekday. Very exciting. All right. You said you had something you wanted to get us started with?
Yes. Did you read your sponsor? Was that it?
That was it.
Okay. Hold on. Here we are. So this story I just read on a whim this morning.
Okay.
And as I read it, I went, oh my God, it's the musician's dream of all time. Listen to this.
Okay.
It's in SF Gate. This morning.
Ding, ding, shame.
Wisp. Ever heard of Wisp?
W-I-S-P?
Uh-huh.
Other than a wisp of hair or
no,
whatever?
It's no, it's a person.
Oh, Wisp is a person.
Wisp is a person.
Okay, Wisp.
How a San Francisco local went from a college student to a rock star overnight.
Oh, tell me everything.
Wisp grew up in SF's Sunset District, and she played Outside Lands last weekend.
Oh,
so listen to this, the story of Natalie Liu, a 20-year-old shoegazer is a type of music. Shoegaze is a certain sound, so that's her
style. It's kind of like an emo thing. It's in that oeuvre.
The 20-year-old shoegazer, better known to her million monthly listeners as Wisp, paused her Outside Land set on Sunday to ask the crowd a sincere question. Who are you most excited to see today? And they cheered back. You.
Oh.
She doesn't directly respond to the adoring cheers, but a smile cracks on her face, which is seen up on the Jumbotron. At the start of last year, Liu didn't have a single song to her name.
Oh.
Now she is the buzziest local act at the biggest music festival in the Bay Area.
What changed? What happened?
Hold on. Here comes the story. Her story is one that's growing increasingly familiar in the TikTok age. In 2023, she wrote a shoegaze track called Your Face, shared it on the social media platform. It hit. The track quickly racked up hundreds of thousands of views, millions of Spotify streams.
Wow.
She dropped out of San Francisco State University, where she was studying computer science.
Oh.
Signed a major label deal, moved to LA, and completed an EP. This is all since 2023. And, you know, for the record, just so you know, we're in 2024, it's August 13th. But that's a year.
I'm seeing if we've got, now we have no whisper.
No, I don't think it's anything we'd play here, and I'm not trying to make
no,
that
No, I just wanted to see. I mean,
what an incredible.
Right.
Dream come true for any person that plays an instrument.
What does she play?
Guitar.
Oh, nice. So she already played guitar, but she wasn't like a...
She wrote, she I mean, I'm sure she's written other songs because that's...
But she put one up.
But she put... She
on TikTok.
Completed one, said, this is my thing, put it up, and it hit. She says, I never intended to make music a career. Thinking about playing outside lands wasn't even in my mind.
So 1 year ago, she might have gone to the festival, but it wouldn't have even occurred to her that she would be playing on it in 1 year.
She
freaking hit. Man, that is crazy. That's, you know, that's the dream, right? Of the kids these days. You put something online, it goes viral, you're a star. That's the dream. That's incredible.
This artist's name is Wisp. She's from the Sunset here in San Francisco. And I just thought, what an incredible, as I read it, my jaw was dropping. I'm thinking, that's every person's who's ever wanted to be a rock star dream is to hit and then suddenly be
I wish there was some way to get audio on the air. This like really bums me out.
Oh, to play her?
I would love to. Well, love she sounds,
I looked it up and you can't really hear it, but I'll play a little teeny bit.
All right. Is that live or is that all I hear is drums?
You can't. There's guitar under there, but it's
all right. Well,
whatever.
I know. It's just a bummer.
The song is called Your Face. Her handle is Wisp Music. And that's an artist that went from playing in her room to the outside land stage in 1 year because she put a song on TikTok and it caught fire.
I mean, sometimes lightning strikes. It's just, it's amazing to think about that really is the, like, I mean, maybe not your kids, I don't know, but when kids watch other kids on YouTube or on any of these platforms, they go, oh, that kid's doing it and that's how it's done. That's, it's like when we watched people on MTV thought, oh, you get a band and you make a video and then you get on MTV and you know, whatever. There was, it just, it's this whole new way and it's sort of instantaneous, like little kids who are turned, and not, I'm not saying all of them deserve it or all of them don't deserve it. It's just that if you have that moment, like these little things just kind of worm their way into, even like the Listen Linda kid, like that kid, he's like, what is he, 3, 2 years, whatever he is. Like, I don't even know where he is now, but it's, that's the...
Well, he hasn't recaptured the Listen Linda fame is what,
and that's the
what's
thing.
Happened.
It's this viral thing. It actually is probably
I say Listen Linda to myself in the house all the time.
I know.
Listen Linda.
Right. All the, there are so
apparently
many little...
Linda.
Yeah, well, listen up. No, you listen. I don't know. It's a whole new, it's a very... very strange new world we live in.
Anyway, I just thought I'd share. There's
I
your
like
first
it.
Story.
Oh, thank you.
In celebrity trash. Wisp, big star here in the Bay Area.
Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Kit Harington, who played Jon Snow. You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Mm-hmm.
Winter's coming.
He had a minute and then burned right out.
You know, he did have a minute. And he's been in other things here and there, little things. But they were supposed to do a whole show called Snow.
Mm-hmm.
It was in development. They talked about it. It was a go, and it never went. So he's talking about that and other things. But he said, as for the Jon Snow spinoff that never happened, Kit says we spent a couple of years back and forth developing it, and nothing got us excited enough. I'm going to say that that feels like a lie because money gets people excited. And I'm sure that there were people who were like, yeah, we'll put money behind that. No problem. Come up with a script. And something like, what do you mean? Nothing got you excited. Find another writer.
Well,
to get you excited.
Yes. My brother works in Hollywood and he has said many times, good stories get told.
Nice.
It like you write a script and it's good. It's getting made.
Yeah.
Like that's you can bet on it. It may take a while to get to the right person who goes,
oh, this.
Oh my God, but a good story. They are frothing for good stories in Hollywood.
Yeah.
They've got none. That what they're doing now is, well, we start with a character,
yes,
like Jon Snow, and now we gotta figure out what to do with him.
Right. What's he gonna do?
That's not a good story. That's a
get
you gotta
a writer.
Make something up.
I know. That's crazy. Well, and writers, they know what to do. They That's why I think that so many times a great movie comes from a great book. Because there it is. There's the story. It just has to be adapted for the screen and shortened usually. I always think about The Martian, which I think they did do a great job with that movie.
Yeah.
But in my mind, having read the book and knowing what they cut out to make a 2-hour movie, I did think that you're robbing yourself if you don't, if you're not reading books. Everything is so condensed for you if you're not reading books. Everyone needs to read books.
At the heart of that book, for me, and this, it's The Martian, right?
Yes.
That's what I call it. At the heart of that book are the moments where he has to save his own life.
Yes, over
and
over. And
he has to do it with math.
And he says, I'm going to science the
And as I read these things, and, you know, if you don't know me, I didn't do math at all. Like, I graduated high school, but I was never a math guy.
You were never going to go into
And I started math. Somewhere along the way, I just started going left. Math, I'm going to be over here. Mm. Bye. So anyway, as I hear that and hear him think, I can figure this out. I'll do it. And he just saves his own life. And you're reading it and going, oh my God, he's all, okay, at the heart is him saving his own life. Also, the absolute all aloneness of Mars.
I know.
There's nothing.
And no one knows.
No one.
They don't, they think he died.
If he just goes, the end. It's in his hands to not go,
yep.
And just evaporate.
What I loved about that book, too, was that the science was so accessible. Like, he didn't, it wasn't
for some people, that's the point I'm making, is I cannot
access. No, you could follow along with, he wasn't, like, laying out formulas in the book. Like, he really did do a great job bringing you along with it. Because I've definitely read books like sci-fi and stuff where they're doing the science and you're like, okay, I really, you've kind of lost me. I'll scooch down to the end of this paragraph where whatever your desired result was happens. But he brought you along and explained the whole thing. It was great. Is he the same guy who did that book, Project Hail Mary, that I love?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Somebody else might have written that, but man, that The Martian. Anyway, how did we get here? Anyway, it's because if there's a good story, it gets told. And so maybe Jon Snow or Snow, whatever they were going to call it. Maybe that just didn't have a good story.
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read Project Hail Mary?
No.
We have incorporated.
Andy Weir.
He's a San Jose guy, I think. I think he lives locally.
Yeah, we tried to talk to him and I don't know what. Why he didn't.
I think the movie was hitting right at that
Born
time.
Born in Davis. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah. Project Hail Mary is great. It has that same. He's funny. He's a very funny writer. And he, but also tells a cool story. And there's so many little things that John and I say all the time now from Project Hail Mary. Thank. Question? It's funny. Anybody who's read it knows what I'm talking about. Kit Harington, Jon Snow on Game of Thrones said mistakes were made in crafting that 8th and final season of Game of Thrones. He is saying it was rushed and it's completely, that's how it felt top to bottom. Like, let's just get through this. Let's finish the story. He says he wasn't sure things could have happened any other way. He says, I think if there was any fault at the end of the Thrones, we were all so effing tired. We couldn't have gone on longer. And so I understand some people thought it was rushed, and I might agree with them. But I'm not sure there was any alternative. I look at pictures of me in the final season, and I look exhausted. I look spent. I didn't have another season in me. Didn't we hear that he was hitting the bottle pretty hard at that point?
No one wanted you to do another season, dude. We just wanted you to do a good last season. Like, you know, that's where
well said.
You know, let's finish strong.
Wouldn't that have been nice?
Gather it up.
Right. Honestly, Game of Thrones is one of those things I have such mixed feelings about. Like, I loved that show. First 5 seasons, I was like, this is like the best thing that's ever happened to me. Like, John, get out. I'm keeping this. And then it just started to fall apart. And I blame the two Davids, Benioff and whatever the other David's last name was. I can never think of it. D.B. Weiss. Not his name.
I don't know.
Something like that. Whatever. I mean, it just, like, they got big and they started looking at other projects and they just rushed through and did not care. And they'd run out of the original source material because George R.R. Martin that decided he didn't like writing that story anymore. He was writing all these other stories. He's so mad. It's funny because I try not to, but it gets brought up at my house. And then we sit down with them, you know, you'll sit there and rewrite the whole thing. Like, well, they could have done this. Let's explore that. Okay. Colin Jost was in Tahiti for the Olympics.
Oh, wait. So the story about Jon Snow is that there's no Jon Snow movie.
Yes. So there's not going to be a Jon Snow series. But the story was actually he's acknowledging that he said, quote, mistakes were made in final season, which a lot of people get very defensive about art that they've made. And there has been some real defensiveness about that final season of Game of Thrones, which I thought it was indefensible, but okay.
Well,
I feel like that was a big step. He says, if there's any fault with it, it's because we were all tired. And so I understand people thought it was rushed, and I might agree with them. Might. Yeah. So Colin Jost, who was at the Olympics reporting from Tahiti and got a boo-boo on his toe-toe, on his piggy-wiggy. He gave an update. I put this up at the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page because it's cute. It's Colin Jost being very much not serious, broadcasting from Malta. He's got this whole spin on it, and it's worth a second of your time. It's very funny and sort of recaps what he went through.
For the record, the pros that surf all around the world for a living, they're good at not putting their feet down. Mm. And so they don't end up in the medical tent often.
Right.
But I've traveled like in Hawaii. I have absolutely had to use liquid bandage to put my toes back together so I can go back in the water the next day.
Right.
Like it's an instinct you have
Put a
foot down.
Yeah.
Ah. Oh, boy.
Everything there hurts.
So it happens. It's not that big a deal, but apparently he got staph, which happens also because that's a live reef.
Right. They got him out of there. Like he was taken out by a reef. All right, Vinny, what's coming up in the news?
Yikes. By the way, someone wrote in, the story was that Yuzette was in contact with Andy Weir to come on the show, and then he got booked for Oprah.
Oh, that does sound right. Yes. Oprah trumps all.
All the garbage, everyone, is coming up next.
The
trash.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right.
Hello.
Listen, think about this.
You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
I love it.
Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. I love that one. Every time I hear a song from Ariana Grande, I always think about the season that Frankie Grande was on Big Brother. Are you watching any Big Brother?
I'm not, but that's what you think of?
Yeah, I always think about that. Because he was on, it's been years now. And she was definitely not on my radar the way she is now. Like, she was big and she definitely had hits. I'd heard of her.
Uh-huh.
But she's, like, she's just huge now. About to star in Wicked. That's going to be good. Anyway, hi, it's the Sarah and Vinny Show. And this part of the show is brought to you by our Facebook page. Everything we talk about on the show goes right up on the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page. It's a perfect resource for choosing your next movie or show. Make sure you stay updated by checking out our Facebook page.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by tickets to see Matt Nathanson. Ooh. Listen to Jane all this week at 6:05 p.m. for the keyword. Text that keyword that Jane gives you to 20357 and you'll be entered for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Matt Nathanson on August 30th at Mountain Winery in Saratoga.
He's a good show.
Courtesy of Golden Voice. Okay. Mostly sunny today and highs in the 80s. So, and that's everywhere. Nobody's hit 90 today that
Sounds
I see.
Like we're in a pattern.
That's great. Mm. Really great. We all need a break from the 90s. Okay. My first story.
Here we go.
All the junk. All the trash.
Oh.
And you are a culprit.
I know. Of course I am. The celebrity trash is ridiculous.
No, not that. Oh. According to a new report on the junk information we're storing in the cloud, almost 70% of data used by companies is never used again. That also goes for the people and all the emails that you are sitting on. That you could go through your email and be like, I'm going to just get rid of, I don't know, 2013 through 2018.
Mm.
Just delete.
I'd like to do a search and find the keywords.
For the rest of you. Mm-hmm. So what they're talking about, and this I know this to be true, Christina has worked at companies that deal with storage.
Yep.
That's their thing. Their whole thing is we'll come in and take all your data and keep it safe.
Mm.
And then you can come back and get it, or
we'll just store it forever for a fee. Weekly, monthly, yearly.
We can reduce our carbon footprint, they say, by avoiding the temptation to reply all. Nowhere are there more, like hundreds of emails that nobody needed to see or looked at than at the workplace. Mm. In every workplace. I mean, I could point a finger here, but I know it's all the workplaces.
Sometimes we accidentally hit reply all, and that's a problem. Oops, didn't mean to tell everyone that.
Most data stored on power-hungry servers is used once and then never looked at again. And they're talking about the fact that this is that, like, I'll tell you, I go through each day and I delete as much as I can. And part of the reason is I have the Google account they give you, the email.
Yes.
Has 15 gigs or something like that.
Okay.
I've never let my amount of use go over 5.
Oh, gigs?
Yeah. If you pull up your email, here, I'll do it.
Yeah, tell me how to do it. I can't even believe you're using 5 gigs of data on there. How do I find that out?
Let me see where that's listed.
So this is on my, I'm looking at my Gmail.
Okay.
Thing.
Pull it all the way up to the top.
I'm using 0.76 gigs of 15.
Oh, there you go. So you see it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now that's not your main email.
That is my main email.
Now.
It is, and I'll tell you something on my other one. There is never, the only emails I ever save are super specific, and I delete emails. I'm that's like the one thing I do delete.
You do delete.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've known you to use a different email for the entire time I've known you. So
yes.
This is a newer-ish account to my knowledge.
Oh, it is. And actually, you know what? You know where I'm going to look? I'm going to look at my, I have another one that I actually
I've been
think
using
I use
this Gmail for a long time, and even when I skipped to use something else for a client's purposes, I still had this. 4.83 of the 15 gigs used. What's the point? Their point is that they're talking about all this data that is being stored and saved and paid for is useless and just chewing up energy. I don't know when there'll be a purge. I don't know if they could do that.
I wonder if eventually, because look, this is really in the grand scheme of things, email's brand new. Email is brand new. Like, there's going to come a time when, unless you've specifically set this to save forever, they're going to just start dumping stuff that maybe it's like the 7-year rule. Like, don't you have to keep your taxes for 7 years? Which I don't even know if you have to do that anymore. I definitely have been e-filing for years. Pretty sure that's on. Somebody could find that.
I absolutely have gone through. I can't look now because I'm in the middle of this,
yeah.
But I could go through and look. I'll delete entire years that I feel like have aged out. Just go through and select all of them all the way through, delete.
So you save emails though. You don't delete an email. Why do you have 5 gigs of emails? I don't understand that.
I save the emails that are of use.
Okay.
The things that I think I'll need, whether it's a receipt. And sometimes I take a picture of a receipt and that ends up in my email.
Oh, well, all right.
Or in my stored photos.
Oh, so you're just storing a lot of...
things I need.
Okay.
But the email, you know, pile up, I probably could even get rid of more.
Mm.
But what I'm getting at is I look at this stuff. Most people don't. I'm shocked you have any idea. The way you were about your phone and your...
Yeah, I don't care about
keeping.
That's the thing. Like, as far as contacts, you're like all upset about my contacts because I don't know how
it
happens.
It's
like
every time I add a new
device, it like repeats all my contacts onto every device. So I just gave up. I just don't care. You know what I do to solve that problem? I close my contacts. So I'm gonna look at my regular old email. I don't know if there's a way to. You know what's? I have a lot of my one that you're talking about. My one I've had forever. The junk mail has 10,000 things in it.
Oy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I didn't even think to myself that's stored somewhere.
Anyway,
I just thought it was on my computer.
This is the story of the future. While
yes,
keeping people's data for a minute there was the story of the future, now it looks like the story of the future will be how to weed through people's data
right. And
get rid of the stuff. Because they're talking about trying to be carbon neutral, but the power it takes to store all this stuff is profound.
So we're just talking about the power supply to these gigantic server farms.
The server farms.
My mom
exactly
goes, what
right.
exactly is the cloud? She goes, I thought the cloud was endless. The cloud's just, it's a giant hard drive, right? I mean, that's it. Everything is on the cloud, which is
and everybody's,
a huge farm of computers.
So Google was in the business and then Google's had to farm out to get more, you know, storage, and Apple had some, now they're farming out to get more storage. Amazon started the storage business. There's tons of them, especially here in the Bay Area.
Mm.
I'm sure a bunch of people driving to work right now are like, yeah, storage.
Yeah.
That's my business.
Like, I wonder where these giant, because you hear that they take up all kinds of room.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are they in the desert? We should use the desert for that. A lot of them, we should use the desert for all our solar needs and our server needs. And we could actually store the servers under the solar panels to keep them cool.
Someone is going to have to figure it out that most of the data stored on power-hungry servers is used once and never looked at again.
Yeah, there should be an auto-expire. Unless you've specifically marked it, everything should go. After 7 years, you're never going back for that stuff. Hell, really, after 7 months, you're never going back.
Right.
But
that's the email thing is like, are you really going to just,
that's
well,
funny.
I have the space.
That's interesting.
Why would I care? You don't have to care, but you could unload that and then.
Yeah, I'll just close the program. Don't worry about it. Never think about it again.
All right. Good job out of you. Deciding on places to call home can be a tough process. Our neighbors just left for Idaho.
Oh, boy.
They're
packed
out of
up
here.
The house and.
They're put it up for, they're renting the house and splitting.
Are these some of the Christmas maniacs?
They decorate, yes.
Okay.
So whoever moves
they
in
need to know
are going to have to know that this holiday season is going to be their best
yet.
Keep
up with the rest of us.
They don't really, though.
What if they come? What if the new neighbors come in and they blow the doors off all you guys?
Well, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
I'm
way less invested in it than you think. I love it. I love the holidays.
I don't know. I picture you hanging off the gutters on your second story of your house. Help
I'm
me.
Really,
my ladder has fallen.
I'm really just looking at my honey-do list and doing what I can to be part of the family.
Mm.
You know?
Not part of the problem.
Well, I am prone to saying, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't even feel bad for it. Except with my kids going, but daddy, then I'm like, oh, all right, fine.
I'm going to let you down, girls.
I don't want your mom climbing on the roof. Let me get up there and do that for her.
Is it true Isla's coming in this week?
I think so.
Oh.
We'll see.
We'll have to give her some stories to do.
Okay. Yeah, she's into it.
Yeah.
I just don't, you know.
That's where she's going to sit, right there.
Okay.
I have a set of headphones ready for her and everything.
All right. Maybe Friday.
Sure. Great.
Oh, boy. Deciding on a place to call home can be a tough process. You need to balance things like cost of living with job opportunities, quality of education, and safety. I realize there are people here in California who will say, and I'm friends with some of them, I don't care how bad it gets, I'm never leaving California.
Yeah.
So you'll be homeless in California? Yep.
Oh.
Like, I have friends who have actually said, this is my home. I'm not leaving. Just because they've made it, you know, impossible to afford anything doesn't mean I'm leaving. I've lived other places. It's freezing. It's no fun. I like California. I'm staying. All right. Take it easy.
I like California.
California is not in the top five states to live in, though, just so you know. Massachusetts, number one. Florida, really? Number two. Even with the hurricanes that Florida, like, they're in season right now. They're getting hammered with rain and hurricane warnings. And yet, Florida, number two on the list. The
palm trees in paradise.
Places to live.
So it's not just that, like, it's not just about the weather, then. It's about cost of living.
But cost of living, housing prices, job availability are all a big part of that measurement. And that's certainly, as we've been in radio, because you have to move. It's just a national market. That's the way it works.
You hardly ever see someone who was like an intern in San Francisco and then, you know,
and
rose
stayed
to the top of the heap.
Right.
You got to go. Leave home to come home, come back a hero.
So New Jersey, Utah. But oh, anyway, in radio, you often would look also at, well, what does it cost to live there? What are the rents? What is the, and that's just
how far would that salary go?
All
there?
Of that stuff comes into play when you look at where can our family thrive?
Mm-hmm.
Where can I as a single person thrive? Massachusetts, Florida, New Jersey, Utah, New Hampshire.
No sales tax.
Is that the deal in New Hampshire?
Yeah.
Let me see where Idaho came in at six. My friends just moved there. It's so crazy. I watched the littlest kid in their family. He could barely talk. And I've watched him grow up, and now he's like seven or eight or whatever he is. And I'm, okay, bye, I guess.
Do they have family or something there?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I mean,
really, that's one of the hardest things about moving. At least at radio, you go to a radio station. Like, radio stations are like families. Like, you get to know the people that you're working with, and then it becomes, and it has like sort of a social base to it. You go to this party and that party and this event and that event. And so you can kind of work yourself in. But a lot of times people will leave for a job, and that's, you know, Joe in accounting is the only guy you,
right,
you know.
On this list, again, this is a list of the best states to live in for 2024.
Massachusetts, number one. I'm very surprised by that.
Number one. California like came in at number 29.
Wow. The bottom half.
And you know that that's just the cost of living.
Yes.
Is outrageous. Affordability rank, 49th for California.
Wow. What's number one? I mean, number 50.
Oh, number one for affordability was Alabama.
Bama.
Let's see.
It's affordable, what's but there aren't any jobs.
50? Let's see. What's 50? Sorry. Hawaii.
Oh, well. That,
for affordability, sure. Hawaii.
Everything's got a price on it because they had to bring it there.
Anyway, this is from Wallet Hub. If you're considering a move and trying to figure out what you should do with yourself, maybe this list and looking at all the numbers and trying to sort of look at a map and make some phone calls, maybe that'll help. It's real life. I mean, I love California. I'm a surfer. I'm born and raised here. But I do also know sometimes, you know, you're better off in a place where you can afford.
Yeah. Well, you can always visit.
I had pretty good years in Eugene, Oregon. It was nice.
Yeah.
Everything
was
great.
That was a good place to put it all back together.
They didn't make enough money. But I
made enough to live there.
Yeah. But I was, you know, no stress and no commute. None of either. Okay. Our next story. This one's kind of fun, but also I'm going to try and add in some accompaniment.
Oh.
What? Audio.
Oh, great. Good. Yeah. We're trying over here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Seagull insurance is going to be added to the bill at this restaurant, St. Andrew's Cheesy Toast Shack, because seagulls keep stealing everybody's sandwiches. So what's happening?
Oh, as in you can buy some seagull insurance.
Yes.
Oh. Hello, Finding Nemo.
Yes.
Mine.
That is... That moment in that film where I heard that, let me go back to it. I don't know why it won't. I didn't know it was going to do that. The part where they're mine. When I heard that, I went, I've never heard anyone nail a seagull more perfectly than that. That is them.
Mm-hmm.
Mine. And they're relentless. You just,
and God forbid you give them something. Now they get aggressive even.
Yeah. Well,
they're big close up.
The owners of this sandwich shack.
Yeah.
Say they currently give free replacements to dozens of customers each day due to seagulls swooping in and attacking people and stealing their newly purchased food.
Oh, boy.
So I guess you got to leave the restaurant with a fist up. I don't know, swinging at birds. I don't know. I mean, okay. They're coming for your food.
Take your selfie stick and just start waving it around.
The business said it costs them hundreds of pounds. This is in England. Hundreds of pounds a day.
Mm.
And they're desperate for a solution. The owners are now saying, we're going to have to start including gull insurance on every purchase. If you don't buy it, we don't give you a new sandwich. We're going broke over here.
There you go.
I
think that's a great, it's a great idea. And it's funny and it gets to be a big talked about subject. Like it's absolutely reasonable. Why should they replace your sandwich? Because you let a gull take it out of your hand. If there's a sign up there and says, these gulls will steal your food, $2 more, £2 more, will get your insurance on that. And then now you're warned.
Well, you want to believe you're not going to get rolled by a bird.
So don't buy the insurance then.
The gulls are super aggressive and actually terrifying. We are a family-run business and can't just sit and watch a sandwich get stolen and not replace it. So I'll always give another for free, but we are going broke. There's a picture of gulls swooping in on this lady's. This lady's trying to eat with her kid. Little boy sitting on a bench. The gulls what is that? One, two, three. Three gulls swooping in to steal their food.
Is there a way for them to put up some kind of netting? Like just build a frame and put netting all over it and try to deter the, here's a place you can eat and you'll be away from the gulls.
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like inside the store, maybe you need to put some seats in there because right. No one's going to let you put netting up. They'll be like, well, that's an eyesore.
Right.
You've come up against trouble anytime you try to do anything.
Right, exactly. And this is on the beach, you say?
This is, I got to go
it's
back
okay.
to it.
Or is he just near a dump somewhere or there just happen to be a lot of gulls hanging out?
I don't know. Well, gulls can be anywhere, but this is in...
They tend to gather where people are eating food. There's trash or the ocean, right?
St. Andrew's Cheesy Toast Shack. I don't know where St. Andrew's is.
All right.
I know there's a golf course named St. Andrew's.
Oh.
But have you heard of that?
I haven't. Is in England, you're saying?
Yeah.
St. Andrew's Cheesy what now? Cheesy Toast Shack. I found it. Let's have a look at that. That is right on St. Andrew's Beach.
Oh, there you go.
Which is, let's see. It's sort of, they're saying this is in Scotland. It's north of Edinburgh. So it's on the beach. So that's why there's gulls there. I think it's perfectly reasonable because if you have a big sign that says, you can insure your sandwich for another pound or 2 pounds because these attack gulls will try to steal it. Now you're warned and then you're like, oh, that's here. Let me throw you a couple bucks.
Our text number is 800-400-3697. Here's a few. I work construction, says 510. And we build giant warehouses full of computer storage racks and racks of servers.
Oh, boy.
Where?
Yeah, where are you?
Write us back. Where are you building these?
Right.
Here in California? It doesn't seem like the best use of real estate to do that here in California.
Well, you get outside a major city. So I bet you the Central Valley has pole orchards that have been taken over by server farms.
Sarah said emails are new. They've been around since the 80s. Relatively new.
I'm talking in the general time scheme of human development. Email is brand new. And if you have email from the 1990s, why? That's
somewhere
my question.
Speaking of the 90s, somewhere in the 90s, we stepped on the gas pedal and have just accelerated progress in
I'd
a
actually
way
say
that
it kind of started with like having a computer in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And then people went, what would I ever do with that? And we figured it out. It's like the iPad.
A shop.
Like,
what would a I shop. Do? Yeah. I buy everything I want.
Whatever it is.
Right on my driveway.
For me, it started with Quicken. I was able to do all my bills and figure out my banking on there. Because I used to dread having to balance my checkbook every month. Oh, I hated that so much. I don't even really remember how banks worked before online banking.
925 says, we were in Venice, Italy recently and walked out of a shop with a gelato on a cone. Walked into an open area and a seagull swooped down and stole my son's cone.
Oh, the whole thing, huh?
Right out of his hands. It was actually hilarious, but it happened so damn fast. Yeah, they don't.
Yeah. I would never ask a restaurant to replace my sandwich that I had let go of to a gull. Like, I actually feel like they, I mean, I get it. They're nice people. They just want to get, they want you to be happy. But doesn't it seem like you just go, no. See the sign here that says the seagulls are going to try and steal your food?
Mm-hmm.
Hang on to it.
Take it home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm familiar. They used to steal our food all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Well, you were saying they actually would like dig around. They saw where you put your stuff.
We would try to bury our stuff to the best of our abilities, and they'd undo your little sack lunch and tear it apart. You'd come out and go, it was in the sand. Little rascal saw me do it or something. Anyway, what's coming up in the trash, Sarah?
Stay cool. It's just an earthquake. Plus, Bridgerton adjacent.
Blah, blah, blah.
Get up.
Wake up.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Legit, yeah.
Yeah.
Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.